exists. Really taste his choice moment between guys.
This is really nice. You got a thing for swans? Is this like a fetish? It's something like maybe we need to devote some time to.
Thought about what you said to me the other day about my painting. Huh. Stayed up half the night thinking about it. Something occurred to me. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep and haven't thought about you since. Do you know what occurred to me?
No.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea of what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. I know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. If I ask you about women, probably give me a silver, say your personal favorites. You may have even been laid a few times. But you can't tell me what it feels like to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're a tough kid. I ask you about war, you probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. But you've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help. I ask you about love. Probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Known someone that could level you with her eyes. Feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you. Who could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel. To have that love for her be there forever. Through anything. Through cancer. And you would know about sleeping, sitting up in a hospital room for 2 months, holding her hand. Because the doctors could see in your eyes that the terms visiting hours don't apply to you. You don't know about real loss, because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself. I doubt you've ever dared to love anybody that much. I look at you, I don't see an intelligent, confident man. I see a cocky, scared, shitless kid. But you're a genius, Will. No one denies that. No one could possibly understand the depths of you. But you presume to know everything about me because you saw a painting of mine. You ripped my fucking life apart. You're an orphan, right?
It goes on for a couple of more minutes, but that's basically the gist. I have been doing a lot of thinking about how I contribute to the world. And as a writer, sometimes I feel like there's these thoughts swimming around in my head, and I have this gift where I can put the words in the right combinations to really, you know, put out there, you know, what it's going through in my head. Ironically, I don't seem to do that very well on the podcast, but when I actually sit down and write it, I have a gift of that. I know that. I'm told over and over again that my words on the page affect people. And it's a gift that up until recently, I wasn't able to call it that. I was always very shy about the fact that I put something on paper because I had to put it on paper. It's a need for me. It's like breathing. I don't know how to explain that any better than that. It's a requirement of myself to jot down my ideas and to publish them. It doesn't mean anybody's going to read them. It doesn't mean that they will resonate with anybody. But I have a need to put them out there and deal with the consequences of the words that I put down on paper. That is why a lot of the times I am very mindful of the words that I choose, because each combination that gets put out there to the world can be picked apart and can be looked at as either evidence of what a good person that I am or evidence of what an asshole I can be. And so before I post anything, I think it through. Is this really the best representation of what it is that I want to say to the world? And 9 times out of 10 is yes, I do make mistakes and I go back and edit, and I do like edit features on social media, and I think that we should have that on Twitter because it would help clarify some things. But a lot of the times, because I do follow people from all different walks of life, I just posted about this morning, I follow adult actors, I follow physicists, I follow scientists of different kinds, I follow other real estate agents, I follow lenders, I follow anybody who's interesting and engaging, because I think there's a lot of stories that are out there that I want to know about, and it would be foolish for me to limit myself because of what are people going to think. And so if I find somebody interesting, engaging, involving, I am going to reach out to them. Again, they're not required, of course, to reach back to me, but more often than not, going into these conversations as a good actor has led me to have some really interesting dialogues and to learn about some things that are maybe off the beaten path, but they're still very interesting. So when you engage in many different kinds of folks, you come across their ideas and you come across their own thoughts in their own combination sentences that they've put out there to the world that sometimes just make sense. They make sense to me, and I do not believe in taking somebody else's ideas, putting in an interesting phrase or word here and there, and then regurgitating that back to the world so that I could seem smart. That, to me, is not ethical behavior. And as of late, what I have been doing is when I come across a quote, a sentence, a phrase, anything that makes sense on its face value that I don't feel that I can contribute anything further on, I'll either retweet it and basically mention to all those who follow me, this is how I would have put this out there. And there's nothing for me to add or subtract. It is, in my view, as perfect as it's ever going to be. And I'll give credit to the person who posted it. I think a lot of the times we have in this country, to a certain degree, a little bit of intellectual robbery. I think comedians will tell you that that happens all the time, that how they go about, you know, borrowing ideas, quote unquote, from one another to develop their own jokes. And it's been an issue. There's a lot of comedians that have talked about that. But I think even between people that are intellectuals or pseudo-intellectuals, there's a lot of borrowing, quote unquote, that they take from other people and they just add some floweriness to it, or they add their own take and they put that out there. And you could say, well, they're adding, so it's not a direct theft. But to me, it seems silly to do that. Give credit where credit is due. In my view of things, once you do that, you can be seen and gleamed as somebody who A is a mindful actor, and B surrounds himself or herself with a variety of different points of view, and you're willing to display that for the world. There's virtue in showing people who your resources are. I ask that of my kids all the time, whenever they come across a problem. It's easy to default to the two people that you know, mom and dad, maybe sister or brother. But they live in a world much broader than that. And as they get older, the sphere of influence of folks that come across them gets much wider. Their knowledge base can be grown. And That's why I ask my kids to read things from all different places. Again, it's kind of the same thing that I do. And just gather information, because you never know where a tidbit is going to come in helpful, where a dialogue with somebody is going to spark a new thought. When you need help, and when you run into a problem, what concept or what idea you've gathered from a source that you can utilize at any given place and time. Use your resources. I can keep on talking to kids about using your resources. What's around you? Think outside the little box that you have access to, and think, who do I know? How do I know things? What have I heard about this? What's on me? What can I use in a different way? Back in my early sales day, they used to give us a paperclip. You probably have done this too. They used to give you a paperclip and tell you, well, what can you do with it? And folks would come up with 3, 4, maybe uses for it. And again, obviously, the paperclip was one of them. But the interesting folks, the ones that I gravitated to, were the ones that could come up with 20, 30, 35, 40 uses for this paperclip. Think about it. Next time you have access to one, see what you can do with it. Don't hurt no one. And that's what I keep on asking everybody, is who are your resources? Who is around you? And also, don't limit yourself to the resources that you have access to. There are billions, literally, of people out there who all have a unique experience, who have made it through life in their own way, shape, or form. Not all of them are going to be great, but there's a lot of good stuff out there. And when you can't add any more to it, then just move it forward and give credit where credit is due. The reason why I chose that specific clip from Good Will Hunting is because I don't know that I could say it any better than that. How I could describe that moment any better than a Robin Williams character did in that film. I woke up to my wife this morning. She's been away, house sitting and whatnot, and we haven't seen each other for some time, or at least we haven't been sleeping in the same bed for about a week and a half or so. And that's a relatively long time, especially during the holidays, during the Thanksgiving holiday, when you're supposed to be together. But no, she's away, and it earns us, it's something that we do, for a little bit of extra help here, and it helps another family out. So she was out and about, and I was here, and so we were not spending our evenings together. We were single parents for the evening, for some evenings there for about a week and a half or so. And so finally she came back yesterday, and then we had the opportunity to sleep in the same bed together, and find our old grooves. And I woke up to her 41st birthday. Today she's celebrating it. And I opened my eyes, and she was there, just breathing. And in that moment, that rush of words that Robin Williams, or the writers of Good Will Hunting, had put together for Robin Williams to speak, that rush came full force into my head. And he was absolutely right. That feeling of being whole when another person is there, that is magical. It's not to be squandered. It's something that I cherish. I didn't always used to. I didn't always understand it. I think I was a snot-nosed kid too once upon a thought. And I thought, well, this is just forever. Or I was in lust with her. And so I took a lot of that for granted. But as our dating went from that to getting more serious to eventually being married and now being together for over 20 years, and then starting to celebrate these milestone birthdays. I mean, we're definitely into our fourth decade of life. You start realizing that person right next to you that has built a life with you, that's worth its weight in gold. And I can't add anything more to that. So I thought of you guys and what I wanted to put out there to the world, and I thought that's the message that I want to, that is the feeling that I want to describe, and since I can't do it any better, then I'll let Robin do it in the way that only he could. Look through my post in, you know, the last week or so on Twitter. I've really have pulled back a great deal because I really wanted to spend time with family. And we've been doing this, you know, weird little thing this year where we've amassed now a big enough library with the kids of movies that we watched over the years that we consider to be Christmas movies, that we've been doing this exercise of every single day watching one. And It's a Wonderful Life is on that list, and How the Grinch Stole Christmas is on that list. Die Hard, Lethal Weapon. There's a whole bunch of different movies that we consider the best of the best, and so we're watching them through the next 25, 26 days or so. And you know, the reason why I think they're great is because there's so many fantastic lines out there that truly encapsulate love between couples, love between families, love between even strangers, the capacity for us to feel empathy and sympathy, and that nobody should be alone during the holidays, so that they can be helped, and also that this is a time of the year for our humanity to be at its greatest display. And ironically, you know, I had one of those weird moments, and I tweeted about this, where it is. I look at, we landed, a device on Mars yesterday. But hey, it's the human race. But scientists right down the street from where I live, and engineers, they landed a probe, I think, or something in Mars. sorry to be so stupid about it. I'll put it in the show notes so you know what I'm talking about. I'm sure that you know, but we landed this thing on Mars, and it opened up its camera, and it started to give you a view of the red planet, and you think, this is what we can accomplish. I kept on seeing videos online of these crowds just gathered to make sure that the thing had landed properly, and when it did, you had one of those Apollo 13 moments where everybody erupts in the scene and looks at the screen and claps, because we have done this as a race of people. We have gone to other planets, and we have landed things, and we're trying to understand them and know them. And then you contrast that with what's going on at our southern border. And you could have your own opinion on that. And we can debate that online, on here, whatever. But the reality is that we have people that are hurting, that have made a perilous journey for thousands of miles. In this great nation has decided to attack. You can try to downplay it. You can try to say it's not as bad, or these people had it coming and whatnot. But just gotta. But when we start reducing one another to less common denominator, then bad shit happens. And so you have the contrast of these great, amazing feats with this debasing of the folks that are hurting the most. And that is such a swing within 24 hours. But it's happening. And I got to say that that's been happening since the beginning of time. For all the great things that we have done some shitty things. And unfortunately, we can't seem to overcome that. But I think a part of the problem stems from the fact that we do not give enough credit where credit is due. We debase one another, and that we're in this constant race to make the biggest and the loudest point, and we don't take the time to reflect on what we already know. That's all I got for today. Again, sometimes it can't be said better than it is somebody else, so why try? Just pass it along and give thanks. Peace.